From coast to coast and around the world, you are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world. And these guests share their knowledge to uplift consciousness during Earth's ascension. Tonight we have Alan Mesher with us, and he's the author of Just Who Do You Think You Are? The Power of Personal Evolution, and he will demystify the transformation process into a simple, clear, and powerful path of personal evolution that will accelerate your growth and help you cope with the complexities of modern life. If you'd like to speak with Alan or me, the phone lines are open. Give us a call toll-free at 1-888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697. And we also encourage you to email your questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net, and your questions will be answered in real time on the air. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I'm an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years experience. I have helped thousands of people from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives make their invisible dreams visible. Utilizing my gifts, I simultaneously am in touch with the past, present, and future, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. So if you're looking for some peace of mind, the right relationship, financial independence, or clarity about your life's purpose, give me a call. My life's purpose is to be of service to you. I can be reached toll-free at 888-240-6057 or check out either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net or www.healing-visions.com. That's vision plural. Tonight's guest is Alan Mesher, and for several years, Alan was the publisher of the Well-Read Yoga Journal. He also hosted a talk radio show entitled Adventures in Consciousness in the San Francisco and Austin, Texas markets. He has worked, he has been featured in the San Francisco Examiner and the Philadelphia Inquirer. Alan has appeared numerous times on nationally syndicated radio shows and many appearances on Coast to Coast to AM with Art Bell, and Art Bell has personally endorsed Alan's healing work. Alan's primary intention is to help his clients elevate their lives and become centers of dynamic change in the world that is around them. Welcome to Walking with Spirit, Alan.
My God, Monique, I don't know if I have the firepower to stay up here with you.
Uh-oh. Yes, you do.
There you go.
Now that you've taken the lion
and given him a heart, I'm raring to go with confidence.
Yay! Well, I am so
makes you the wizard.
Yeah, huh? I am so glad that you're with me tonight. And are things nice and calm down there, LA way?
Oh, there's just been a horrible earthquake.
Seriously?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I don't want it coming this way.
things are very calm here. Most people have left town, so the highways are free. It's really the best time of the year to stay in Los Angeles because there's less traffic now than there ever is in the rest of the year.
Okay, and I lived in L.A. in Redondo Beach for about, a year and a half, 2 years. So I remember what it was like going to the valley every day to work and coming back.
Oh, my God, what a trip that must have been.
It didn't last long.
That's a long drive.
Yeah. Well, Alan, you wrote this absolutely wonderful book, and it's called Just Who Do You Think You Are, and it's available at your website. What prompted you to write this book? How did you get going with this?
Well, you know, I needed to do something about my amnesia, so I wanted to figure out who I was so I would remember, you know.
Okay.
A year and a half later after writing it, I finally put it down and said, it's a hell of a lot of work to try to figure out who you are and remember who you are. I'm not going to do that again.
Okay. And so what did you do? You just wrote the book and said, here I am?
I wrote the book and rewrote the book and then wrote the book and rewrote the book and kept going until I got it to a place where I was satisfied. But the book came really out of doing work on folks for 25 years, as have you. and realizing that there are a heck of a lot of lessons that needed to be extracted from that work and put down on paper to share with other people. A lot of pertinent and, I think, valuable ideas and principles that people could apply to their lives and also think about to not only apply to their lives, but to think further about these matters and to be stimulated and to take them as far as they could themselves. Because when I write books, people always tell me, Alan, you know, I read your books and it's clear and simple, but there's a world of meaning underneath what you're saying, and I've really got to think about everything you wrote. So I read it once, and now I'm going to go back and read it much more slowly. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. So that's a good thing. I mean, to have people think and ruminate, that's what you want.
Yeah, well, I noticed that when I read your book, I got it on the surface, but then also on the subconscious, well, even while I was sleeping, you know, thoughts from your book would come up, and I would make just minor adjustments in my life, but positive minor adjustments, because I didn't want the full-blown effect, you know. I didn't want that horrible healing crisis. But your work is very sound. But for people who haven't read the book, why should they listen to you? I mean, you said, you know, you kept looking for yourself, and then one day you found it.
I have a hard enough time listening to me. I don't know why they should listen to me. They probably shouldn't.
Oh, I think they should. You've got some valuable information.
That may be a reason. I mean, if people find, you know, it's like, look, not everyone in the universe is going to vibrate to this particular message. It's for those who are ready. And those who the people that will be ready for this are people that are really hungry for spiritual growth, that is put in a context that is not necessarily religious, but it is applicable to every human being in any situation in life. So it's sort of multidimensional, multi-universal, call it as you will, but it will speak to those people who are really ready to grasp growth and surge forward in their life. Because, you know, Monique, one of the things I look at in the world today is that there are 6.5 billion souls on this planet. We're overpopulated, and we're overpopulated in the context of there's not enough consciousness on this planet to maintain a space for all of the people that are here now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're to try to make this planet work and save it to any degree, then we've got to become a lot more conscious a lot faster, because the world is spinning out of control. We're using our resources up at a frightening pace. And with China and India and other third world countries now developing very, very rapidly, the thirst for fuel and energy is going to, and Russia too,
mm-hmm.
the thirst for energy is going to be overwhelming in the next decade or two or three. And what are we going to do when all of these people, when Russia demands as much energy as we do, when China demands as much energy and India demands as much energy, where are we going to find it all? Are we going to have India? Are we going to have energy wars? So the most important thing we can do really is to become more conscious, to be bring more light on this planet, more understanding and more flexibility and adaptability, and move into new ways of doing things. Einstein said that you know, we need a new kind of thinking on this planet if we're to survive the problems that we have created.
Uh-huh.
And as we move forward more and more into the new century, the words of Einstein are becoming more true every day. We need new kinds of thinking. And this is simply one phase of it. We need to open up and bring in more light. There was a wonderful Indian spiritual master who died in, I think, 1951 named Sri Aurobindo. And there was a quote of his that sticks in my mind and has never left it. I mean, you know, that's like a piece of glue in there, super glue, and I can't get it out. And I'm going to paraphrase it because it's fairly long.
Okay.
And what he said essentially was that if we can go deep into the silence and be quiet and at peace, we then have the power to draw down the energy that will change the world. The world can only be changed in this way, in the way of peace and quiet and silence. But man makes the mistake of running around screaming and yelling, doing bursts of incredibly frenetic activity, thinking he's accomplishing something. But the truth of the matter is he's not accomplishing anything, because he's not quiet, he's not at peace, he's not still, and he isn't one-pointed enough in his mind to draw down the power from above, to bring in the light from above that will change the world, to bring us new ideas and new inventions and new things, new ways of doing things and new ways of thinking and new energy. And until can gather enough people to do that, we're going to be just sort of bouncing around from one crisis after another, and many of them impacting against each other, creating newer crises and much more formidable ones. So we need to get quiet, and one of the ways we get quiet is by clearing out the toxicity that we all carry in our unconscious. We all have all these layers of emotion that is unhealed, that has never been dealt with, and we need to deal with it. I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. This is a long, fragmented answer, so anytime you want to interrupt me, feel free.
Just go right ahead. You're doing just fine. Okay.
So I want to give you an example of a friend I know who's a really brilliant guy, really, really bright and very charismatic and very thoughtful and very interesting to listen to. Now, when this fellow was growing up, his parents were both very abusive. His father was really physically abusive, emotionally abusive, and verbally abusive. And then when he was 18, he met a girl that he ended up marrying who was a few years older than he was. And she became passive-aggressive, ignored him, didn't pay any attention to him, abandoned him emotionally, and he was left alone. So it was another form of emotional abuse. And then at the age of 45, that marriage collapsed. She had an affair. It was over. They're getting divorced. And then he went on an interview because he's a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He went on an interview he was actually going to be the cameraman on this interview with a major Hollywood star. And the person interviewing the star, the star didn't like, and the star turned her back on this particular fella and wouldn't talk to him. So my friend took over the interview, and she and he connected very powerfully and very beautifully. Before you knew it, he was in a relationship with her, and he was madly in love, and it was great and wonderful, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, this has happened too fast. This is not good. And sure enough, about a month later, everything fell apart. She accused him of using her to try to become a producer and make a name for himself. She made all these accusations about him that were not true. She became very emotionally and verbally abusive.
Uh-huh.
So the point is that, you know, in his unconscious from his childhood, this pattern was set up about being abused, never getting his needs met, being betrayed, being abandoned, and it just, that theme would play from one relationship to the other, to the other. And it doesn't matter who he was in relationship with, because his unconscious was calibrated in a certain way. That's what he was going to attract, even though on the surface it seemed far different and much more fulfilling. Eventually the truth would come out and the negative tendencies would show themselves and he'd get destroyed by it.
Uh-huh.
So this sort of toxicity has to be cleared up, and everybody carries something unique to them that is toxic and self-destructive.
So how do we get this poison out of us? I don't think any of us want it. So we become aware. I realize that's step one. What's step two?
Well, step one is huge. I mean, to become aware of it, to find it, there are really four phases of the healing process. And the first thing is to find it. And in order to be able to find some of these things, because they're deeply hidden below the level of our consciousness that we can easily reach, and therefore it's operating in the dark, it's operating in a very covert way, but it's always operating. And it's very magnetic, and it draws to us things that we don't want, but it draws them into our lives nevertheless in a repetitive way. It will keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
So this happens on an unconscious level, and in order to really, the first phase of getting clear of these things is to be able to go down and find these things and bring them up. And what I've noticed is that the greatest tool to be able to bring this material to consciousness is spiritual light and spiritual healing. So if someone has the ability to channel an awful lot of higher light, spiritual light, white light, call it what you will,
mm-hmm.
into someone's system and bring it up, then that is the beginning. And in order to be able to do that level, you've got to be really good. That won't happen overnight. It takes years of practice to be able to see where these things are lodged in people's system, because the unconscious will hide this material all over your body. So sometimes it's sitting in your liver, sometimes it's in your pelvis, sometimes it's in your lungs, sometimes it's in your heart or your stomach or your sexual organs or your brain or the back. I mean, it can be anywhere. And it takes a really empathic, sensitive, and very aware person as acting as a therapist to be able to find these places and bring them up. And when this material begins to surface, you've got to be willing to acknowledge it, to face it, to confront it. And confronting it means that you open yourself to feeling what is inside you. Many people at this stage will run the other way. They don't want to deal with it. They get very frightened. And they just run. They just shut down, which is a huge mistake because all you're doing is empowering the negative side of yourself and disempowering the positive side of yourself. So what we want to be able to do then, once we this material begins to come up with the energy and light that's being put into our system, we want to be able to face it. We want to confront it. We want to open ourselves to feeling it. So that's huge. And when we can open ourselves to feeling it and let go, then all of this negative emotion can start working its way out of our unconscious, out of the organs in which it's been hidden, and clear itself out of our being. And it will always come up and out through the throat. So we might find ourselves...
Up and out through the throat?
Always through the throat. Has to. That's a door.
Okay.
That's a transformational door. I mean, think about it. When events happen and you don't do anything and you seal it into your body, how do you seal it into your body? Because you're not speaking it out. You close the door and it gets stuffed in your body. You're not speaking it out. And so when the stuff starts to come up, it will come out through the throat. You'll cry, you'll sob, you'll scream, you'll rage. You know, you'll just make all sorts of weird sounds, or you might cuss. I mean, whatever it takes. I don't care. It's whatever it takes. And then sometimes people's bodies will shake. All this anger will start pouring out of their legs, and the legs will start kicking. You know, the healing tape below their hands and arms will do that, or they'll burn up and they'll start sweating, or they'll get ice cold, or they'll go hot and cold. All sorts of physical phenomena will accompany the discharge of all this emotion. And then the final phase of clearing it all out is that you come and you find yourself very peaceful. Usually people laugh. They feel incredibly relieved. They feel peaceful. And then they're able to forgive whatever happened to them and whoever did it to them. They're finally able to let it go, forgive them, wish that person luck, so they are free to move on.
Alan, let me interrupt you for a second, because you said forgive, and a lot of people struggle with this concept.
Right.
If you forgive someone, does that mean that you have to go back and be their friend and be the way that things were before?
Nope.
So would you explain that? Because so many people in our audience have contacted me about forgiveness, and they truly feel that if you forgive, you truly go back to where things were before, the way they were.
No, why would you ever want to do that? I mean, the way they were before, you got wounded pretty damn bad.
Right.
You never want to repeat that again. You're not forgiving them for them. See, that's a mistake people are making. You don't forgive someone else for them. You're doing it for yourself.
Hmm.
Forgiveness is an incredibly selfish procedure. It's not about sacrifice. It's not about being unselfish. It's about affirming who I am if I'm forgiving. Or if you're forgiving, you're affirming who you are. You let them go. Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you an example directly out of my life. I was married for a number of years. I have one son, and then my ex-wife turned against me and became my most bitter enemy over what I do not know. I still don't know. Doesn't matter. And this whole vicious cycle was launched that lasted a long time while my younger son was growing up. You know, I was desperately afraid for his well-being. And she wasn't alone. She had all these friends. I mean, they were trying to hurt me in any way they possibly could. And it made no sense. It was insane. And I will admit that I got angry and I got bitter and I needed to deal with that because this was long-lasting, horrible stuff that was being done day in and day out. It was aimed at hurting me, but it was also hurting my child. And finally, you know, over years it ended. My son grew up. He went to college. He's doing incredibly well. And I did a lot of healing and a lot of purification work on myself. And I came to a place where I could forgive my ex-wife. I mean, I let it go. I love her. I forgive her. But you know what? I don't have to have anything to do with her. I'm very friendly with her now, but I'm not her friend.
Okay.
She has her life. She has remarried. She's happy. I want her to be happy. I want her to have a great life. But I'm not her friend. But I truly, truly forgive her. And I bear her no ill will. I am not bitter. I am not angry. And I did that not for her. I did that for me so I can go forward in my life.
And once you forgave her, what immediate changes did you see in your life?
Everything became easier.
Interesting.
Everything became easier, and women started coming out of the woodwork.
And ladies, he's not a bad-looking guy. You can go to his website, and www.siriuscreatons.com, and you will see him.
Thank you. Or you can go to alanmesher.com.
Okay.
Either one gets you there.
Okay, and that's Mesher, M-E-S-H-E-R.
And Alan, A-L-A-N.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, I want people to understand that you don't forgive to go back. You don't forgive to let these people into your life again who wounded you. Because once you've been through that, why would you ever forget? You don't forget. Forgiveness does not mean forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things we must learn when we've been wounded is that we need better boundaries. We need a better system in place so that this won't happen to us again, you know? And oftentimes these things happen because we don't have a strong enough sense of ourselves, so we will not tolerate certain things in our life. The stronger your sense of self, the more you will be unlikely to tolerate, to put up with bad behavior, or to put up with manipulations or exploitations or abusiveness in any form. As you become stronger and clearer, you're not going to put up with that. And it almost becomes this invisible, unconscious shield, actually, because people feel it. They know that they can't play with you. They better not be screwing with you because they don't want to deal with what might come at them if they do so.
Mm-hmm.
So the stronger you become, the more you will have an effective boundary system, and the less you're going to be attacked, used, and suffer the same things that you did before. That's really, really important. And so when we let go of anger, and we let go of bitterness, and we stop being a victim, we also stop attracting to us things that will continue to victimize us. Because the victim will always create and attract to him that which will victimize him more. As long as he's angry and bitter and out of balance, he's going to attract that stuff more and more into his life. So forgiveness is the way you stop that cycle.
Okay.
But you can't forgive. You can't just go to forgiveness. You can only go to forgiveness after you've cleared the anger and the bitterness and the hurt and the victimization out of your system.
Okay. Can you share with us a technique to help get that out of our system? I mean, so many people are stuck. I have a lady who may call in today. She had talked to me earlier. She's blocked. She's stuck. She knows it's negativity, but she can't figure out how to get past it.
Well, you know what I would say, really? The best way to put this is to tell people, go read my book, because there's a whole chapter that's devoted to a very, very specific and simple technique that will help people deal with this stuff on a day-to-day basis as it comes up. And the same technique can be used to go farther and farther into the past and bring things up from, say, childhood, early childhood, things that you forget, or even from other lifetimes. Bring this material up and begin to clear it. And I think it's better that they read it in the book than they hear it over the radio, because it's so easy to misconstrue what is said and to do the technique wrongly. If they get the book, they can always read it over and over again. They'll get it right.
Okay. And the book is just Who Do You Think You Are? And it's available at alanmesher.com. And the book's selling for $19.95, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Is that an autographed copy?
Yes, they'll get an autographed copy signed for them.
Okay. Okay. Now, you said that, you know, we need to really create an effective boundary system. How
yep.
do we do that?
That's a good question. I think an effective boundary system is an essential element of growth, and it happens as we're growing and as we're pursuing healing our lives. An effective boundary system is sort of automatically created. It's nothing that you have to go after very intentionally. what you have to go after intentionally is the unconscious negative emotion that is clogging your unconscious mind. That has to be gone after intentionally. And as you clear that out and you turn that darkness into light, you automatically at the same time are creating a healthy boundary system. Because the healthy boundary system is nothing more than the reflection of self-confidence. And if you've got a lot of fear in your system or a lot of bitterness or anger or victimization or rage or resentment, you know, all of these things are insecurity or inferiority, how are you going to have confidence? And if you've got all of that cooking in your system, how are you going to create an effective and positive boundary system? The answer is you're not.
Not right.
It's just a waste of time and energy. It's putting the horse before the cart. Mm-hmm. So if you just take care of your business, which your business is to clear the negative emotional toxicity out of your system, everything else in life will follow. It'll follow easily and clearly. This is step A. You know, step B, step C, step C, and D and E will all follow organically. But the reason that most people's lives don't work and they never get to where they really want to go is because they don't take the time and go to the trouble to clear out their toxicity. So even if they get something or some of what they want, it's not going to make them happy or fulfilled. It might give them a temporary high, but it's not going to make them fulfilled because there's no real fulfillment within them. How can you be fulfilled if you're still angry or upset or victimized or resentful or fearful?
You can't be.
You can't be. Fulfillment is a quality of peace. As soon as you're internally peaceful, you're fulfilled. And it doesn't matter what you're doing in the external world, how big or famous or powerful or rich you are. It doesn't matter. You're fulfilled.
Okay. Well, how does addiction enter into all of this?
Well, addiction is just a sign of somebody who hasn't cleared up their toxicity. Toxicity and addiction go hand in hand. The more negative emotion you have inside you, the more it's easy to get hooked on a substance or an activity to take your mind off it, to fill yourself up, you know, try to make you feel better. An addiction is an attempt to feel better, and it's an attempt to put your demons at rest, but it's a very negative attempt because instead of confronting yourself, you're running from yourself into the arms of something that's going to disempower you even more. And that's what addictions do. They disempower you even more, and they make the addiction the power in your life. So anyone who's very negative, the power of their life is already given over by fiat to the negative. The negative rules them. And so instead of walking in a more positive direction and taking a risk and confronting oneself and finding the negative emotional toxicity, they run the other way. They run into something even more negative that they hope will, you know, sort of drown them in numbness and take them away from what they're truly feeling. So people have all sorts of drug addictions, sex addictions, you know, gambling addictions.
Food, whatever.
You know, they do all these things to numb their pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's a way to numb pain. And none of them ever work. And everybody knows this. But, you know, they become so helpless and so powerless that their will is paralyzed and they can't move forward. And that's another thing to really consider is the crisis of will that all of this engenders. Because if you've got a lot of negative toxicity, I mean, I hate to hark back to this, but it's really the root cause of all of these problems. If you go back again to all of the negative emotional toxicity that people carry, that also means that they don't have a will. Their will is broken. They can't be their own best advocate. They can't move forward. They can't be creative because their will is broken. And, you know, what's the will? We all know what the word will means, but where is it? I mean, it's not like an arm or a leg or a nose. I mean, it has no physical location in the body. It's a theoretical term, the will. And by will, we talk our persistence, our determination, our strength. And that's what we think of as will. And all of those imply that no matter the struggle, we're never going to give up. And it always implies that there is some horrendous struggle. You know, we have to doggedly stay to it. And the idea of will also connotes sacrifice and endurance and hard work. And you think, God, You know, that's also heroic, but it's sure not any fun. But there's another application of the will, or another way to think about the will, and that's this. I mean, it's thinking of it in a metaphysical sense. The will is an energy connection in the body, and it's an energy connection between the base of the spine and the forehead.
Okay.
Excuse
me. Path of the Kundalini?
Yeah, it's the Kundalini energy. So if we've got a lot of emotional blockage in the body, it's going to impede, it's not going to allow that energy connection between the base of the spine and the forehead to be developed. It's not going to exist. So as we begin to work out the blockages in our body and get rid of this toxicity, we begin to open this channel that flows from the base of the spine, which is the seat of what's called the Kundalini energy, or the spiritual energy in man and women. And that energy will begin to eventually flow up the spinal column, up into the head, and up into the forehead, creating the will. When the will is created, we become a dynamic center of change and power. And then, by thinking and focusing on what we want, by concentration, we can easily call what we want into being, because, number one, we have removed all of the unconscious resistance from our own system that impedes our ability to get what we want. And number two, because we've removed that, we've created the positive will that we now can use as our ally to focus and create what we want and have it come into reality with very little resistance and impedance.
Mm-hmm.
And so more and more we get what we want because we're fulfilled anyway. I mean, once your will becomes positive, you're a very powerful person. And you're going to be at peace, and therefore you're going to be fulfilled. So when you're at peace, fulfilled, and in your power, it's a heck of a lot easier to have the life you want and create what you want than if you don't. And most people never get there.
At least in this lifetime, right?
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. Do you feel that meditation is a true vehicle to achieve this? And if so, how long each day?
Everyone should meditate for 16 hours every day.
Okay.
Well, think about it. If people meditated for 16 hours every day, there'd be no murder.
Yeah, there'd be no war.
There'd be no traffic, and I could get around L.A. much more easily. There'd be no economy. We wouldn't eat. We'd become beings living on air and light. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, meditation is an important part of the toolkit. It's not the only tool in the toolkit, but it's a very important one.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start clearing out your negativity and then you start meditating, you've opened your system up. All this negativity is out. So now you can fill those spaces with light, and that's what you do when you meditate. And the more you go in meditation, the deeper you get and the more peaceful you become. And the more peaceful you are, of course, the better everything is.
Right, the lighter you become. You vibrate at a higher rate.
Absolutely.
Okay. In your book, Just Who Do You Think You Are, you talk about true purpose. What do you mean by that?
True purpose always involves an element of service. A true purpose is always bigger than you. Like, I'm in L.A., so let's just choose the most common, prevalent purpose in L.A. just to talk about it, and that is, I want to be famous. I want to be a star. Now, that's not a true purpose. That's like a little purpose. That's like a little selfish purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a true purpose always means that the heart is opened, the head is opened, the heart and the head are in balance, the soul and the spirit are open and connected, and we are spiritual beings, and we know that. And we know who we are. And who we are is, oh, I am part of all that is. You know, I'm one with all that is. That is the highest form of identity there is. So when you find out who you are, you find out that you're more than you.
Hmm.
You're you and everything else. So you're part of this oneness. So a true purpose really has to reflect that oneness in some way. And that means that your true purpose means that you're here to help out unconditionally and unselfishly to serve the growth of other people in some way. That's a true purpose. And for everyone, that true purpose will be a bit different because we wouldn't all end up doing the same thing. But, you know, wherever you are and whoever you're talking with and however you choose to interact with people and share what you know, you do so in a very conscious and loving way.
Okay. Can you give us an example of, you know, someone that is pretty well known that is living
their
true purpose?
Let's just talk about two of the more famous ones in the last 15 years. You have the Dalai Lama,
uh-huh.
And you have Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa helped the Untouchables die. That was her work. She loved the Untouchables in India.
Yeah.
And Dalai Lama goes around teaching about harmony and peace all over the world. So there are two different manifestations of it by two incredibly high beings who certainly knew who they were and had manifested a true purpose. You don't see people living at that level very often. It's a very uncommon and miraculous thing in this world. People talk about it. They give lip service to it all the time. You know, I mean, it's very sort of cool spiritually to say, well, you know, I'm into service or I'm into that or blah, 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 blah. But the truth of the matter is to find someone doing it in a very high and pure way, that's rare.
Okay. Well, what do you think that we could impart to our world leaders, especially the leaders here in the States,
Resign. Resign.
Well,
immediately. Step down. Do the best thing you can for America. Get out of office.
Mm-hmm. And with those immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah, but those immediately under him are the same. So is there
any... No, we have to get rid of the whole cabal.
Okay.
They all have to go.
And do you feel that there's any balance in either of the three major parties, or should, you know, we create a new system coming up?
Well, no, I think our system is actually okay. We just need to have people with more consciousness and less selfishness,
uh-huh.
and self-serving self-righteousness. In positions of leadership. I think that right now, unfortunately, in positions of leadership, we have a lot of very self-righteous individuals with limited consciousness, and it scares me.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting how they're using the Bible Belt, if you will, for their support. And I truly feel that they're using them because those people are, in my opinion, unconscious, so therefore they're easily led.
Well, they're unconscious and they're fear-based.
Uh-huh.
They're unconscious, they're fear-based, and they're very emotional. So, yeah, the cynical among the Republicans can pull those strings very easily, very easily. And that's not only the politicians, it's the clergy that lead these people to it. It's frightening. Religion and politics is a volatile combination, and our fathers were very right to say that there should always be a separation between church and state.
Yeah, well, we've kind of gotten away from that, haven't we?
Well, hopefully things will come back in balance. There's always a turn of the pendulum. And these things will be set right. But I just hope they are set right and there's still enough time, because the time in the world is, the hour is growing very late. The danger is very high. And I think everyone senses it and feels it. The stress is very high. There are so many huge issues that impact us on a planetary level that could easily lead to terrible, terrible catastrophe, loss, and desecration of the planet. And let's hope that none of that takes place.
Well, it seems like we're on our way. I mean, with what's happened here weather-wise with Katrina and Rita and what's happening overseas with earthquakes and typhoons and all, it's, in my opinion, a cleansing of the earth, if you will.
Yes, well, that's, you know, I can't disagree with that. It's the conditions are set for a perfect, you know, climactic storm to wash over the world in whatever way it would be. I mean, we're in L.A., and God knows when there'll be another big one. But you never know. I mean, we are living in a very unstable time, and it will only get more unstable as we go forward.
Mm. Well, you know, it's interesting because you talk about karma and all of this, and you talk about the karmic principle in your book,
right.
Just Who Do You Think You Are. Now, we're living this life now, good, bad, or indifferent. We're living it. Is there going to be a karmic repercussion of what we're putting out right now? And if so, what do you think that would be?
Of course there will be a karmic repercussion. But you know, when it comes and how it comes, no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not be arrogant enough to presume to know what it will be and how it will be.
Well, congratulations, because I've had a few people on who would feel that they know exactly when it's coming. So thank you for acknowledging your humanness.
Yeah, I certainly am not among those.
Okay. Well, what is the one thing that we can do outside of meditation for 16 hours a day on a daily basis that's going to help this planet? You know, we talk about, you know, global consciousness and all of this, but doesn't it really start with, you know, taking care of ourselves and letting that grow outward like the 100th monkey syndrome?
Yes, absolutely. I think the most important thing any human being can do is continue to work on themselves, because the place where you have most power is not out there, but inside you in your own life. And if you take the time and go to the trouble to continually work on yourself to eradicate the layers, because we all have many, many layers of toxic emotional content. And if we can all begin to peel that back and peel that back and get to a place where we're light and love, where we're really who we really are, and then we become a force and a center for that higher light to pour down through us and begin slowly to impact other people and change our world, certainly, and hopefully the world of other people around us. But the more of us that do that, the quicker we can get to a place where the world will just turn over and change in a very positive direction. Because you've got to reach critical mass. And if we don't start doing this one by one by one, when are we going to do it? The only place that you have power is right now and in your life. You have no power over anyone else. You have no power over the world. You have no power over the country. You certainly have no power over this administration.
Mm-hmm.
But the only place you have power is in your life. So seize your opportunity, take your time, and make the changes you need to make to have a brighter and more fulfilling life.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Okay. Now, I do know that you do private consultations. You work one-on-one with people. Tell people how you work with them, what they can expect in a session with you.
You know, that's a good question and a very difficult one to answer, because everybody's different.
Uh-huh.
So I will say this. I work entirely by phone these days. I even have neighbors that I work on, and I work with them on the telephone. And it works very, very well. I can transmit the energy over the phone, and people go, "How can you do that?" And I say, "Well, it's just as easy as if you were here." But I hook up with people. I tell them to lay down and hold the phone by their ear, and then I just start sending energy over the telephone line. I always start by putting one hand on the base of their spine and my other hand on the base of their skull. And in about 2 minutes, I'm going to get them very, very relaxed. So relaxed, they won't believe it.
Okay.
And when I do that, it's also an opportunity, as they're getting relaxed and all that light is flowing into their system, I'm taking an x-ray of them, I'm reading them, and I'm seeing where they're blocked, what the major problems are, what's popping up now, and what do we have to go work on. And then after this 2 minute period has gone by and they're relaxed and feeling balanced and I'm seeing where their material is, generally I will speak with them for a few minutes and say this and that, ask them some questions, and then I'll say, for instance, "Well, you've got a lot of clogged energy in your liver, so I'm going to put one hand under your liver and my other hand over your liver. And as I do this, I want you to imagine that you're in an elevator up there in your head. So close your eyes and imagine that you enter an elevator. And then imagine the door closing in front of you, and imagine that you push the button to descend. And now you're going down, moving easily and safely and efficiently down through your head and neck, and down into your chest, and down through your rib cage, moving down along your spinal column, down and down and down, right down into your liver, where the elevator comes to rest and you come out. And as you come out, begin to feel and connect with all the blocked energy that resides in your liver." And then I'll walk them through and have them connect up with this toxic energy, and I'll have them begin to feel how it feels. I'll give them some descriptive adjectives so that they will have a way of describing it, and they could choose this, that, or that, or anything else they want to say. And then once we've got them feeling it, and then I say, "Okay, now, I want you to start making sounds as if they're coming up out of that blocked energy. Just make sounds, nonverbal sounds like ah, 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 ooh, whatever sound you want to make, but not words, just sounds." And so I'll have them make sounds, and then after they make sounds for a while, usually what will happen is it will all pop. And all of that emotion that's frozen in there that's been hidden starts surging up. And instead of just making sound after sound, the sound now is making them, and they'll be taken on a voyage. And they may start screaming, or they may start swearing, or they may start coughing, or they may start sobbing. They may start screaming and burning up and twisting and shaking and getting ice cold. All of this stuff can happen and often does. And then we just continue to work and clear different areas out of their body for the length of the session.
Okay. Well, Alan, I believe that we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, hi, Monique. This is Princess.
Hi, Princess. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Wanted to thank you for acknowledging my email.
Oh, no problem. Do you have a question for Alan this evening?
Well, I am going to be going to his website, and I'm going to go ahead and purchase a copy of his book. But you were talking about this forgiveness and blockages. You know, I have been having trouble with that all my life.
Which?
The forgiveness and exactly how to do it and blockages,
well,
things like that.
You. The book will help you. And remember, forgiveness is actually the last phase of the healing process.
Yes, yeah, okay.
The last thing you do. So don't even worry about forgiving right now, because you've got to go back and deal with your anger and your resentment.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's not until you clear out your anger and your resentment that you will be anywhere close to being able to forgive.
Uh-huh.
So you're putting the horse before the cart, and don't beat yourself up because you can't forgive, because, you know, it's like you put so much energy into this, and you try to forgive, and you try to do that, and it doesn't work, and it's very frustrating. You think, what's the matter with me, or what am I doing wrong? And all of those things, and you create more and more guilt and more energy around all of this, and you don't need to do that anymore. Forget about it. Forget about forgiveness. It's not even on the venue right now. You have to deal with the anger and the resentment.
So, Alan, are you saying that the anger and the resentment is what's causing the blocks for Princess?
Yes.
Okay, so how does she, can you give us a tip on how she could start to let go of that until she gets your book? I know she'll order it tonight.
You know, it's there's no simple tip.
Okay.
There's nothing I can say in 20 seconds that's going to help you do this. It's you've got to do the work. So really, I really want you to read the book. I really want you to read the chapter where I have the technique in there, because the book gives you the context. It will help you understand how absolutely crucial it is to do this. It will just outline it in a way for you that will be extremely helpful. The technique will be there. You'll be able to use it. And that's the best thing I can say. I don't want to get into some sort of half-baked thing where I'm giving you some simple tip, because it would screw you up more than help.
I understand that. And I know that you were talking about things like natural disasters and how you live down here in L.A. Well, I live about 70 miles east of you, so I'm just about straddling the San Andreas here, so... I can understand that. But I'll go ahead and order your book then, one more brief little statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that if you remember last week, Monique, I told you about the car breaking down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm an editor, and this week I found out that a book that I had edited had sold over 900 copies from just one person, so I get to get my car fixed.
Oh, yay! Good for you. And you know, Princess, one more thing I want to suggest to you and everybody else out there listening. Alan has also written a book called The T-Zone, The Path to Inner Power.
Mm-hmm.
And this book helps one understand why certain themes keep, you know, reoccurring in their lives and why they're never resolved. And this might be a book that you want to also, you know, take a look at to help you maybe become more aware of those blocks so that you can burst through and release them. Alan, do you think that book would be a benefit to her?
They both would be a benefit. And actually, I think on the website, if you buy both, you get a discount.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Money, yeah.
Okay, Alan, well, it's nice to talk with you.
You too, Princess. I wish you the best and happy holiday.
Oh, well, thank you, dear. And I'll get right over to your site and give it a look.
Thank you. Plus you can see how gorgeous he is, okay? Okay, okay, well, okay, thanks for calling, Princess. Okay, and lots of love to you, Monica. Now also, for those who aren't aware yet, because they haven't yet gone to alanmesher.com, that's alanmesher.com, you have two CDs that are available.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about those?
Oh, yeah, you know, thank you for reminding me. I totally forgot, and this is for Princess, too. These CDs are really unique. They're very, very different. I hired a composer to compose the music, and they're sort of light jazz. But the music is a delivery system, because underneath it, you're not going to hear it. You're going to feel it. I was able to record the healing energy. And so we have two CDs. One is called Harmony and Balance. The other one is called Vitality. And they both have different kinds of energy on them. So for those of you that want to get a book, I would also real strongly suggest that you get one or both CDs, because you can play these techniques, the healing techniques. You can do the healing techniques and play the CDs, so you get the energy, the benefit of that energy moving through your system as you're doing this work, and it's going to let your work go deeper and be much more powerful. In fact, I have one lady in Santa Monica who had heard me on the radio, and she's part of the permanently, she's part of the population of permanently disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
And of that population, only 2% is able to work full time. Excuse me. And this woman is. And she wrote me a letter, and she said, the reason I'm able to work full time is because of your CDs. I listen to them when I get up in the morning. They fill me with energy. They banish all negative thoughts. I have tremendous energy during the day, and then I listen to them when I come home, and I get re-energized. If I have, ever have any trouble sleeping, I play Harmony and Balance, and it puts me right to sleep. I have another, I got another letter, a letter from another lady whose grandson or granddaughter had colic.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the Harmony and Balance CD, and she put it on, and, you know, that little baby, you know, was screaming and yelling. It was so upset and unhappy, and she played it for about 10 minutes. The baby went right to sleep, and the colic, the gas passed, and the baby was fine.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so there are many, many applications for these two CDs, but primarily they're really going to help people heal their lives, and that's why I did them.
Now, the Vitality CD that you have, if someone is like in a blue state right now, I don't know why, but I've talked to so many people in the last week, and they have low energy. You
this
know,
time
the holiday
up.
Time, they're yes. usually up, but they have low energy. Would Vitality help them?
Yes, absolutely. And this the astrological energies right now are so negative and so heavy. It's the darkest time of the year anyway. And astrologically, it's a very challenging time of the year. So I'm not surprised that people are feeling very, very low. And vitality is low. Yes. When I created this particular CD, I remember when I was channeling the energy and we were recording it, there was a big mirror next to me, and I remember glancing at the mirror, and my whole body, I mean, my skin had turned gold, and the energy radiating out of me in the energy field was so brilliant gold. I mean, it was just, the gold light was enormous coming out of me that day. So all of that energy is on that CD.
Mm. Well, that's absolutely wonderful, and energy travels everywhere, so
everywhere.
All you have to do is invite it in, right?
That's right.
Okay. So you have many opportunities out here. You can purchase this book, Just Who Do You Think You Are? You can purchase the book, The T-Zone, the CD, Harmony and Balance, or the CD, Vitality, or you can take all four and keep one for yourself and share the other ones for gifts for this holiday season. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes left, Alan. What is it that you'd really like to impart with our audience?
God only knows, because I don't.
Okay.
You know, I've talked pretty consistently now for about 45 minutes. So
and you've done
I'm
absolutely.
I'm trying to think what I've overlooked.
Well, you've done absolutely wonderful. I can't believe you're talked out.
I'm just getting over the flu, so that's why I've been coughing a little bit. I apologize.
Oh,
but I would say this, you know, another aspect of all of this is that everyone's after more higher consciousness. Everybody wants to tap into their source. Everybody wants to have a higher experience. But in order to have a higher experience, you have to be willing to have a lower experience. Before you go up into the light, you've got to be willing to go down into the darkness. There's no resurrection without a crucifixion.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's at this time of the year that we really need to go down into that dark part of ourselves and clear out whatever we don't need to carry into the year. So that's one of the reasons why people are feeling so tired and so heavy right now, is because their own shadow is up. The negative part of themselves is up. It's heavy, folks. It has a weight, and it drags you down. So pay attention, because that's a lot of what you're feeling, is the weight of your own shadow. So sit with it. Feel it. You know, it's a funny thing, Monique. Last month, I had this little virus, and I remember sitting home one night, and I was watching this movie, and it was about a 10 or 11 year old boy who had gotten lost with his dog, and they're out in the wilderness, and the dog had saved him from one thing after another, and then a helicopter finally came to them and rescued the boy, and when they came back to get the dog, it slipped, and the dog was lost, and the boy thought, you know, he's never going to see his doggy again. And it ripped me to pieces. I just sat there and I bawled my eyes out. But it wasn't, and that movie evoked something in me that I needed to deal with. It was an old theme of loss and abandonment as a young boy. And, you know, when I was laying there sobbing, I realized that I wasn't sobbing about the movie. The movie was just evoking something deep in my own shadow. And those tears were hard. Those were hard tears. It hurt. And it came deep out of my liver and out of my lungs and out of my gut. But when it was all over, I felt so much lighter. So what I would tell people is, you know, sometimes when you're feeling heavy like this, and you're feeling low, and you're feeling lost, and you're feeling depressed, put on some movies. Put on movies that hit you emotionally, that make you cry. Because the things you're crying about are being evoked by that movie, but they're from within you. They're clearing out places in your shadow that you can do without. So that's what I would say. Have a really good cry. Clear out some of that stuff. Make room for more light to come in. Because as we clear out the negative, we find our inner center. And as we develop an inner center and we become calmer and more peaceful, then we're more open, and we're pulling in energy from above all the time. So we're ascending, we're growing, we're moving closer to our spirit and our soul than we were before. And that's evolution. You know, we take it slowly. And sometimes the real growth, we're not even noticing that we're making it, because it's so slow and steady and subtle. But slow and steady and subtle is real, and we're building for eternity. If we were to have some huge, amazing experience that's overwhelming and high and earth-shattering, wonderful. But we're not going to stay there. It's going to come and go. We still have to go back and do the work and grow slowly, incrementally, by stages, subtly. And that's the best way to grow.
Okay, well, what great last words for us. Alan, I really want to thank you for being my guest today. You've been super, as usual. I do wish you the happiest of holidays, as they're coming right up. And you have an open invitation to come back anytime you wish.
Okay, tomorrow at 6 a.m.
I won't be here until next Tuesday.
Hey, there you go. No, whenever I wish. You got to be specific.
Okay. Well, you can join me here. So, but again, thank you so much for being my guest. I will be back next Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. If you'd like to get any contact information for any of my guests or to contact me, please visit my website, www.walkingwithspirit.net, or you can give me a call at 888-240-6057. And remember that the master knows that he or she is always a student, whereas the student still hopes to someday be a master. I wish everyone out there the happiest and safest of holidays. And take up advice and take some time and be peaceful, be quiet, go inside, observe the silence, and watch the magic that happens in your life. I'll see you next week. Light and love to all. Namaste.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.